And so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio, back on the internet. Thank you for being here. This is Monday, March the 9th, 2015. I have not seen an announcement email yet on tonight's call, so I don't know what the topic is going to be. This is as usual a simulcast with a conference call. Every time somebody else joins in on the phone line, then you hear a ding as you just did. I welcome that person. Please say your name and location.
That was my ding. It's Marilyn Hausman.
A ding from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the call, Marilyn.
Ding dong.
Thank you for being here. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
All right. We're here with Dan from Wisconsin and Cecil from Seattle. Are you near Seattle still, right, Cecil?
You betcha I am. I'm with you.
All right.
I'm actually in Edmonds, just north of Seattle.
All right.
Tonight. My home is actually in Mount Lake Terrace, which is just about 2 miles away.
All right.
But they've decided to hang on to me for a few more days, so I'm not too excited about that, but it's probably a good thing all around.
All right. Hey, just, remain positive. You sound great, Cecil. That's important, man.
Oh, I'm good. I'm all right, you know.
All right.
So I would never do what they accuse me. I mouthed off at the wrong time and got myself in trouble.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm good and all is well, except that I
all right.
can't get home to pay my bills, and I can't get online to do my emails or anything else. So anyway, okay.
But you have a loaded battery tonight.
Loaded battery and they're treating me right here. I got good food. They're very nice to me. I got a good bed. Except it's cold at night. Anyway, I'm doing okay.
Good. All right. And we have somebody else join in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wanda in Canada.
Wanda, welcome back. How are you doing?
All right. It's been a real busy day. I'm real tired.
All right. Okay. Same with me, actually. Wanda.
Wanda. I drove many miles. I've been driving and doing things since 6 in the morning. Did you get my email last week?
No, I have not.
Heinz? No?
No, not that I recall, no.
Because I sent you a YouTube link to look at, you know, links
right.
amongst links. And that was over a week ago. I resent it again.
Hey, I can't recall seeing it. I can't say I haven't received it, but I can't recall seeing it.
Okay. It's a YouTube video under Chatting with Catherine.
Okay, no, I don't recall. Maybe send it again, Wanda, please.
Okay. It's an interview, Chatting with Catherine, and Rose is being interviewed by her.
All right.
Who's all on the line so far?
Millions of people. Millions of souls. Not people, souls. There we have a Dan, Marilyn. We have not received the email yet, so that's usually when we don't get the email, then people come in late.
Yeah, I didn't see an email neither, but I just got home.
All right. Here we have somebody else joining in. I welcome you to the call. Please say your name.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. We welcome you. How are you?
Same back to you, guys. I'm
all
doing
right.
A little better today, thank you.
Good. And
nice
I welcome
to
the next
caller. Yeah, sorry.
Please say your name and location. Nice to hear you too, Morgan.
Yes. Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you. I'm glad Morgan's feeling better.
Yeah, she's getting there.
Someone asked who all was on the line, and I'm speaking up and saying and Cecil is on the line. Everybody else is pretty quiet.
Yeah. Hi, Cecil.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
So where's the wind free guy?
The wind free guy, he's a free man, you know, and then you never know.
He does whatever he wants, right?
Yeah. It's 4 minutes till the hour, and we'll hang in here for a moment and
wait for more people. A little fast around here, then.
Yeah. In the meantime, I also want to welcome those people that are joining in online through BBS Radio. We are glad that you're joining in.
Let's see what my problem is. They've set the clocks wrong here.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, Raiden Knight, Aurora Seco, New Mexico.
Welcome back, Raiden Knight. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
All right.
Very important to me.
All right.
I'm glad that spring is just around the corner.
Yep, longer days.
I've had enough for the winter out east.
Spring is here in Seattle.
Oh, good.
Boy, the sun was sure shining here. Yeah, spring's here. Everything's, all the roads are getting flooded.
Starting to melt. Yeah, that we're expecting a lot of rain next 3 days or so.
Worst we've had is some fog this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at 7,500 feet, and I saw my first grass sprout out of the earth today.
Wow.
All right.
Very nice.
Yes.
Oh, there's mice running across the roads everywhere.
7,500 is pretty high.
Yeah. All right. We had somebody else join in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks. How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
All right.
And somebody else joined in right after you. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Carola in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Hello, Carola. We welcome you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
All right.
Hello,
thank you,
Carola. Hello.
All right.
How is Carla?
Rickard?
Yes.
I have not heard from her. I don't know.
Well, Sunday they said that, I think it was kind of a confused thing because I think her husband said that she was hanging in there, and somebody interpreted that to mean that she was, or he said something like, hope she hangs in there, or some little thing like that. It sounded like she was on her way out, but...
Oh,
but then Wynn said that wasn't true. It was misinterpreted. So,
what we need to do is just and surround her by love light, and that will be really.
She just has her ups and downs, and has been trying to keep hard to keep up with things. That's all.
We had more people join in. Can you please say your name and location?
Sure.
Hello.
Juan from North
Hollywood.
Hello, Juan. Welcome to the call.
Thanks. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for being here. Did I hear Shirley?
Yes.
Hi, hello. Shirley. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right.
Gilbert.
And I believe we had a caller. I welcome you. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hey, this is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Ron, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Ron.
Gilbert in Central Florida.
Hello.
Hi, Gilbert. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right. I see Wynn is parking his car.
So how many do we have on the line at this time, Heis?
What's that?
How many do we have on the line now?
I see 17 open lines over here.
Hi, how do you spell your...
It is G-I-J.
G-I-J.
Yes. Good evening. Welcome to the call, please.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Terry, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Sex is represented. I like it. All right. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location. Unless you're win free, then you don't have to say your name.
Good. I won't say my name.
Okay. Welcome to the call, Win.
Hey,
is Terry here?
Negative. There is a Terry, but not the Terry.
What are we going to do with her?
It was a good call yesterday, Win. Especially when Carolyn came on.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I mean, it's amazing when people go through changes. And, you know, we watch them for a period of time. Now, who is that?
Sorry, Cecil, I had to mute you.
Was that Cecil? Hi, Cecil.
Hey, let me unmute you, please. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda in Boulder Creek.
Dharmananda, welcome to the...
Thank you.
We got lots of people coming on.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome. Please say your name and location.
This is Roger in Austin.
Roger, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And the next caller, please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn.
Welcome to the call, Marilyn.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Dharmananda, have you listened to yesterday's replay? Now, please, I advise you, you do.
Is replay?
That yes, you were well paid attention to by our source. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, Rick, Iowa City.
Rick, how are you doing, brother?
Very good.
All right. Thank you.
The email doesn't say it's a replay. It's open mic night.
But what are you saying now, Dharmananda?
I said the email says it's open mic tonight, not a replay.
No, I'm saying you in person. I'm advising you to listen to yesterday's replay.
Oh, okay, all right.
Dharmananda, always want to talk. They always want to talk to you and say something to you, even when you're not there.
Me too. Really?
No, I don't know how you got that credit. Okay, my gosh. Most people show
Well, they're part of my family.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, they even talked about me and
that's
and
my family,
about my grandson.
Yeah.
Now, what's really cool is occasionally I get an email from somebody and they say they talked about me and I didn't even, you know, I don't even know who they, I didn't know who they were. You know, I didn't know their name, but they were listening, and they said something to that person.
Wow.
So, well, they talked about me last night and about my grandson, and I hadn't said anything about him for about a couple of months since he died, and they remembered me and remembered him, and they gave me some information about him, and that was pretty cool.
Cool.
And I'm sorry about the noise. I was raising my hospital bed here so I could lay down on comfort.
Okay.
All right.
You're not in the hospital, though, are you, Cecil?
I am in the hospital, in the psych ward. Yep. Ninth floor with Looney Tunes.
Jeez.
Would you do tell him to listen to these calls?
I worry about that. They'll keep me here forever.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
The fact is, they told me they're going to keep me
this
for a few more days.
I should have
gotten out tomorrow. And they gave me an extension. They like me so well that they're going to keep me.
Yeah.
And I have told
I've told a couple of people in here about it, and they're very interested, and I think they'll join the call maybe when they get home. I don't think they can do it from in here. I have to get special permission to get on my cell phone because it's a smartphone, and it takes pictures and movies and everything else. And, that would be against the privacy rules and regulations and laws and that, and I can understand that. So, but by being in my room and being on the earbuds, I'm not a threat. So that's what they've done, and they bent the rules for me and let me do it. They're very nice people here. And they treat me well, and they feed me extra good. I'll be 10 pounds heavier when I get out of here. I don't get fed like this at home, I'll tell you that.
And I can choose
what I want.
Cecil, I did something very sneaky, you know.
You did. I can't hardly imagine that.
I started the tape recorder.
Oh.
This is okay. Open mic.
And okay, that's all right.
As soon as I announced everybody, okay, it's open mic, then they're going to say, duh, I don't want to say anything.
Sure, we got nothing to tell.
So
I can spend the hour telling my story.
All right. Well, this is the night where everybody says, "Man, when is Hogging all the center stage? When do I get to talk about me?" And Marilyn Houseman, are you there?
Yeah,
what's
I'm
the
here.
Date?
Yes.
How are things in Pittsburgh?
Pretty boring.
Pretty boring. Now, what's the most exciting thing that happened to you this week?
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna have to think. Nothing.
Hey Marilyn, you think? Well, we say that today it's Monday, March the 9th, 2015.
Oh God.
It is?
Just for the record.
there is Highs making sure we're all anchored in time-space. No, space-time. No, that's space-time. Do you guys know the difference between space-time and time-space?
Tell us. I do not.
No?
No?
That's a distinction the Rock Room makes. And it's kind of cool because you can start to get the feel of it. It's that this realm we're in, they call space-time. And space-time, obviously, we know what space-time is because we're in it. But time-space is basically the other side where essentially there's no such... The space and time are convoluted on the other side. Or maybe they're convoluted here. They're probably convoluted here, but since we're here, it doesn't seem convoluted, right? I mean, imagine the Elohim. And here they've been since the beginning of the universe. And to them, almost nothing's happened, right? In other words, they obviously experience time, but time is totally different for them than us. But when they're in this, we've asked this question, so this is an interesting distinction. When you're in a particular time zone, it doesn't necessarily feel different, except when you compare yourself to another time zone, like you look into it, like when the Elohim looks into our zone, everything moves extremely slow for them. It's like, but when they're in their own space, I don't think they experience it moving slowly. They just experience it just probably like we do. It's awareness. It's kind of like if you're driving and you've got a car driving next to you, it looks like you're not moving. You're in the same, is this a good analogy? You're in the same motion. But if somebody's moving really fast relative to you, then the fast car, the guy in the fast car, feels exactly the same time as you do, except if you're looking at him, he's moving really fast, even though he's inside the car, and it just seems the same. I don't know if that's a good analogy. Does that make sense?
I heard somebody describe it once, that on time-space you can move around in time the way they can move around the way we move around in space. They can access different times the way we access different spaces.
Except when you access it, there really is no time. Everything is right now. So when you... what's happening is, it's like there's a center point that's moving forward, and it's carrying the entire hologram with it. And the entire hologram is being constantly... Is that Marilyn Houseman?
That was not.
No. I got my finger on it. I will mute the line. If you make noise, I will mute you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't me.
No. That's not exactly like that Kevin Costner movie, is it? If you build it, they will come. If you make noise, you will go.
If you drop a plate in the sink and run the water, then that's too much, noise. Yeah.
Now I got to go see where Terry is.
Okay. Make sure it wasn't her, right?
No, it's not Terry. Terry? Now, you know, the call is going on, and it is not daylight. It's now daylight savings time.
Yay. Wake up, wake up, Terry.
Yeah. Everyone's waiting. She was waiting until 7, okay? Well, I knew what the problem was anyway. I mean, it wasn't even psychic, okay? So, but I think that's a fascinating concept, that if you're at the center of the universe, think about it. Let's see if you guys get it. If you're moving in the now, all of the timelines are just around you. But you're not in a timeline, you're just in the now. Like, if you were the one infinite creator, which you are, part of you, if you're moving at the center point, everything is just around you all the time. And all, you know, the interesting thing about the past is... that there is no past, but the past leaves tracks in the here and now that are still accessible. So, what was the situation? You know, I had, at one point, I don't know if you guys ever listened to the Egyptian Connection. It's a workshop, and it is very fascinating. Egypt.intelligent-infinity.com. Well, at one point, Daphne and I were in Ventura, and we were going to do a channeling, and the voice that came through Daphne said it was the soul fragment of Nefertiti. Now, this was a whole new thing, because if you are the reincarnation of somebody, how can they speak through you? And I asked a question about that later, and that everything in the universe just sticks. So there's a consciousness of Nefertiti is still available in Daphne's consciousness. Well, if that's true, because, you know, I can't prove that's true. It's just, it definitely didn't sound like Daphne, and it definitely sounded like a whole different vocabulary. And if everything existed, that means all your past lives are here. You just can't access them. You didn't live them then. They're still in the hologram. And you have this universe hologram that the only thing that exists is this moment. And that's it. And everything is to the side. Now, the only thing that I have not reconciled, and I'll give you my take on it, is the future. Because the future can't exist now, because now is creating the future. So if the future existed now, then everything would be destiny. In other words, the future would be created already, and so we're not creating a future. And if everything is destiny, there can't be free will. We're just acting automatons. But we are part of a creative process in the moment that the future is unfolding from the creation of all the beings in the here and now, in this moment. And so when people say this is the future coming back to here, I don't think that's true, but I don't want to say it's not true, but if what I said was true, and I do believe what I said has to be true, because if there was a future that was already created, and that then there we are just on a train ride, we have no say in anything. So I can only see that the future is being created by the now. So, and that otherwise there's no free will, there's no evolution, because it's just all one big thing that's laid out.
Unless everything exists in the field as potential, and we create our connection to the potential through our mind and with our heart. Mm-hmm. And so as we create that in us, we then bring that about. We connect with that potential that already exists in the field and bring it into our space-time.
Now, I would put it a different way, okay? I think that there are many potentials in the field, but the potentials don't exist separate from us. It's different groups in the field, different consciousnesses in the field that are creating the potentials. Sometimes I call them a trajectory. In other words, I could think right now, I'm going to go to the store. That's a trajectory. And if I think that, I have an intention for that. In 10 minutes, I'll be at the store. But then I walk out my house, and somebody wants to take me to lunch. They're driving by the house. And suddenly there's a new trajectory, and I change my mind, and I go to lunch instead of going to the store. Now, on a bigger scale, we have all of these different trajectories that people on our planet are creating. Like you could say the negative has their trajectory. They would say, let's kill 3/4 of the people. Let's build underground caverns. You know, let's do this, let's do that. That's a trajectory. And that could happen. It is possible. It doesn't mean, you know, and the only thing that will stop us from happening, if there are enough people that are holding the consciousness that of the trajectory where it won't happen. And then that gives all kinds of new potentials. So, you know, we have conflicting trajectories. I don't think it's already in the field, because I think we and our intentions are what are creating the field. The field doesn't exist independent of us. We are the field. All of us together are making up the field. You know, the field, you know, the field is like, I mean, energy, as it comes from source, is undifferentiated. But then that energy gets refined and formed by everything that it passes through, from the planets to the galaxies to you and I. Now, who else wants to say, this is a really good conversation. Who else wants to say something?
Well, when we were earlier talking about time, you know, it is right to figure out how time cannot exist, while it is so obvious to me that it does exist. I kind of gave up on that, you know what I mean?
You did?
Yes.
Well,
I
you know what?
That.
Brain teaser.
Who is that? Who is that?
This is Rosalie Parker.
Hi, Rosalie. Tell us. We're all ears.
Well, time does exist as our perception.
Come closer to your mic, please, Rosalie.
Huh?
See, closer to your microphone, please.
Oh, okay. I'll just take it. Wait a minute. Time does exist as our perception. Okay? Everything happens now. It's not really happening, though. It just is existing. So we're focusing our consciousness about 8 billion times per second on a new frame. I look at it like TV or movie frame. And then, though, I thought, I wanted to think of moving along through time, right? So I thought of a pebble pass through the multiverse. So you take those individual frames of existence and put them on pebbles. So each pebble has a picture on it of a frame. We're switching. We're taking a step.
Hey, want to get rid of this thing?
No, don't get excited.
Rosalie,
we're taking a step 8 billion times per second.
Highs are falling down on the job.
Huh?
Highs is falling down on the job. This is supposed to be muting people that are noisy.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on. Well, let's look at it this way. A movie has 32, a good, pretty good movie has 32 frames per second. I don't know what they're doing now, but 32 is pretty good. You can tell it's a movie. But we actually view life at 8 billion times per second. Okay? So it's like a movie. We're just looking at these frames of existence. But we change them so fast that in our eyes, time is continuous. Okay, so we're experiencing time, even though there is no time per se, we do experience time, and the higher dimensions do as well, but in a different way than what we do. And like, we're already in a different time than what we were in 3D since 2013 began, or right before. So I looked at it like this. Instead of picture frames or, you know, film, you're running through a projector. Look at each frame as a pebble, okay? A pebble is a certain frame of existence that you're going to focus on. And you're going to walk along a pebble path. You're choosing your path. You got all these pebbles in the multiverse. And you're stepping on a different pebble 8 billion times per second. So at any moment, you can change your path. You can jump over a few pebbles if you want, if you're good at that, if you can let go of society that keeps us in step. So that's why it looks like we have time. We really don't. And we sync up with each other. We have an agreed upon universe, and we all agree this is how we're living our lives. And in 3D, and still now in the beginnings of 5D, we are most people are lockstep with everybody else, and we use clocks and iPhones to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
I'm just curious, Rosalie, where did you get the $8 billion? Is there something scientific about that, or is that just speculation?
I got it from Bashar, and I intuitively feel that that is a good enough number.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you talked about being in the fifth dimension. I thought we slipped into the fourth dimension.
Well, different people say different things. I was just listening to somebody last night, and I can't remember who it was, and they were saying we're in the fourth dimension. But most people say that, well, fourth dimension, that's just time. And so when we were in 3D, yes, we had time, but we were pretty much on one timeline. So you could say that we sort of flipped quickly through fourth dimension, where we had a few less timelines to choose from. And now we're in fifth dimension, where if you've got, say, 10 hours, so you have to do something, you could take your own little side trip, and you could live 20 hours worth of living in 10 hours before you sink back up. It's nothing's really any different, except we're lighter, finer vibration, and a higher consciousness, so we're able to do that. I'm practicing it. Sometimes I go through a period where it seems like I'm doing pretty well, and then sometimes not. And I notice that looking at the clock makes a big difference. If I don't look at the clock, I'm pretty much 5D as far as going through my day and, you know, experiencing time.
Time only exists when it...
Go ahead.
Terry, are you there?
She is. She's trying to find that...
her mute button.
Finally. I read something recently about that, using the clock. The clock is used to control people's ideas. And also, I've heard the same thing applied to our calendar. What's the Jovian calendar, whatever it is? It really isn't a very good calendar. It's not a very good way to divide up the time. It was forced on us to get everybody to think the same.
Yeah, and it gets us away from nature, too, because I think the natural calendar, don't you think it's like 13 months in a year, 28
days? Yep. It works out mathematically. It's a lot closer, 13 months of 28 days. It's only one day off.
I think they have gotten us away from nature in almost every way they can. I even heard that we think that's really great. People started cooking meat. Well, it was just to get us away from the fact that we're actually eating an animal, and we are nature's children too, and we're in nature, and we're eating nature. They've done a lot of very subtle things.
Sounds good to me. I just had a steak.
Time only exists when there's motion, you know.
You know,
if you're sleeping,
you
can't experience time at all.
Well, time is a crossing between the real and the ideal. So even if you even experience time because you learn something.
Well, in order to...
Where are we getting those ideas from?
Yes.
It's Jim.
I know that, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi. I would like to say something about time, and it will only take just a moment.
I think you're all spitting out, Jim.
Hello? I would like... May I say something?
Go ahead.
Well, as far as time is concerned, over the years...
You can't quote anybody. It's got to come from you. Jim?
Yes?
Now go ahead and said what you were going to say, unless I screwed it up for you.
It will only take a moment.
The moment is gone. Sorry. Okay, next.
Oh, well. Until next time. Go ahead. All this talk about time reminds me of something I once memorized. Over the years, I've memorized quotes that I felt were influential, and I remember a quote now from Einstein about time, and he's the guy to listen to. Maybe you know what he said? He said the only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once.
I heard that.
Yeah, well,
I don't think he thought that through.
I think he said it as a joke, probably.
No. I said it quite. That's what Einstein said.
No, I'm saying Einstein probably said it as a joke.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, once again, I'll shut up.
People wear a wristwatch. I resisted it myself. Wearing a watch feels like it's controlling.
Yeah, I don't wear one.
That's like the Rosalie saying.
Do I hear Susan?
Hello? Yeah.
Susan.
I didn't ask permission, sorry.
Good to have you. How are you?
I just wondered if anybody has resisted wearing a wristwatch because it felt controlling.
Yeah, I don't.
For many years already, but for no other purpose than it being bothersome on my wrist.
Yeah, I don't wear a watch.
I wear myself so that when I answer the iPhone, I don't look at the time.
Also wearing a necktie. That's a Masonic representation of a noose to show you're under the control of the
Illuminati
or whatever.
Cool.
I wear a watch so I can tell what time it's dinner time is. wouldn't want to miss that.
Well, unless you're cooking it yourself, and then you don't have to pay any attention to the time.
Oh, absolutely. But I never cook anything myself. I could burn water trying to boil it.
I don't, you know, when you were talking about meat, and yes. I was thinking about something the Elohim had said in a conversation. Kind of, do you guys remember that? If you heard it, maybe you didn't hear it. You know, because I happen to end up hearing everything. So we were saying, why don't you just eliminate the negatives since it's gotten out of hand? Just, you know, just disperse them so they don't exist anymore. Well, their answer was, well, the negative oppresses humans, but then humans oppress cows. Whose side should we be on? Should we take the cow side and get rid of all the humans?
That's right.
You know, that really made me think, you know. And
that's good.
Yeah. And another thing they said about that same topic is, you know, as I was saying how all your past lives, everyone's past lives exist in the matrix, God, I mean, if I was the one infinite creator, I'd have one hell of a headache holding that matrix together. but what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. They said it's designed so let's say theoretically they could get rid of the negative, it would still exist in the matrix. And they would come back and do the same thing, which they do from one lifetime to some other planet or somewhere. So
yeah, but in the meantime, we could change the system so they wouldn't be able to like abuse everybody.
Yeah.
So
it'd right.
be fine. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
Has anybody ever watched the videos by Andrew Bartlett, the Galactic Historian?
I've seen him a little bit, yeah. Not much, but a little bit.
Did, Did you hear
how do you spell
part
the last name? What's the last name?
B-A-R-T-Z-I-S.
B as in boy? B as in boy?
Yes. Bart Zis.
Okay, thanks.
B-A-R-T-Z-I-S. And okay. You can find it on YouTube. I'm a little bit behind. I feel like I should have studied this long ago. Actually, Spirit wanted me to write a book on time a long time ago, and I didn't do it, and I got 3 warnings. They'll give it to somebody else if you don't do it. Well, I didn't do it. But now I'm going to do it. So. But they told me that Andrew Bard says his ideas are not quite right, but they're close. And if I study that, it will bring in more, nearer the truth. Is there a truth? I don't know. You know, it'll get something more what they would say is truth. Than what he has. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you think about something, you draw it into you.
The only thing about somebody like Andrew Barksett is, I may be wrong here, but I don't recall him saying how he got his information.
He said he was asked to be a galactic historian, and like 2 or 3 other people, 4 people, turned it down, and he said yes. And in order to do it, he had to go through this long lineage of living in every galaxy and getting all this experience himself. And, you know, he did go through it. I had a hard time because his ideas are so foreign to me. I don't have a great memory anyway so far, but when it's a foreign idea, I don't retain it well, so I have to listen to him again.
Right,
but he was talking about... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I know how the negative works, they can take somebody and they can give them an experience to give them attention and to give them credibility, and yet it's mixed in with certain negative programs, which are very hard to distinguish. So, I mean, myself, I'm talking to the Elohim all the time. And if I get a new idea, I cross-reference it on the Internet. Even Terry does this. We try to find other validations for the same idea. And other ways of proving it. You know, one of the most amazing ways that I convinced myself that I was onto something were all these people who, I didn't think the negative could do this, but they probably can even, because they can do clones. You know, they can take DNA from people and then make a clone. Because, for example, Akhenaten... I don't know if you guys have this has ever crossed your path, but Akhenaten, the Egyptian pharaoh, his mother was Queen Tai, and Obama is the spitting image of Akhenaten, and his wife Michelle looks like Queen Tai from the pictures from Egypt, and their children look like 2 of the children of Akhenaten, I think, as I recall. And
that's amazing.
I don't think Obama is Akhenaten. I don't think so. And I think I was Akhenaten, okay?
Do you?
You
look like Obama a little bit.
Do I look like Obama?
I hope not.
I went through the Jewish DNA, so I got a big nose, you know. But
didn't Uncle Terry Friedman once say that they tried to clone Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say that once?
Oh, I don't doubt it.
When he's dying or something, or I forget what he.
If they were going to bring back an Antichrist. If that was a long-range plan, what a better plan than to clone Jesus, so whoever is going to be that represents that is going to look like Jesus, you know? That's how tricky this realm is, you know?
Well, but we're, you know, we're bringing our intuition in now.
Yeah, well, when we talk, when we have a discussion like this, you know, everyone, we all learn from each other. I learn from you guys because, you know, I don't have all the answers. In fact, I don't, I don't even remember. I seem to know a lot, but I don't remember what I know. It just comes up in a circumstance, you know? And,
yeah.
But, you know, when I said I was Akhenaten, you know, I don't know, it's the way that came about. I don't usually like to talk about somebody that was prominent in the past, because that's not a very good way to introduce yourself, because people think you're aggrandizing. But when I was first with Daphne, in the first 6 months that I was with Daphne, I asked the question, I said, I know I exist in other dimensions. I've had all kinds of synchronicities in my life. How do I connect with the dimensions that I exist with? And they said, write your dreams down. So that night, I put a pad by my bed, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, and I would write down whatever was in my head. And I didn't think about it. I didn't read it. I just wrote it down. So in the morning, I looked at the pad, and I thought I was going to be reading dreams. And instead, I was getting sentence fragments, and it was very similar to the way David Wilcox started accessing, because I had studied Wilcox. I had written about this, and it was very similar to the way that Wilcox was first starting to connect. And mm-hmm. the sentence fragments, it was freaking me out. I mean, remember, I'm just a human. I don't remember things. And it said, you're supposed to be the front man. You have to look tall and thin. We're not doing this for entertainment. It has a serious purpose. It's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. Communication from another dimension, just like Casey, he slept to connect with this dimension. I looked at that and I said, man, I must be making this up. Where is this coming from? And then it happened again the next night. And the next night, and they started commenting on things in my life at the time. And finally, I went back to Daphne, and I did another session, and I said, where are my dream messages coming from? And they said, Akhenaten. And then I said, did I know Akhenaten? And they said, you were his right-hand man. So then I said, what was my name? And they said, Amenhotep. And I now immediately Googled the word Amenhotep. Never heard that word before. And I found out that, you know, I've talked about some of this in our past calls in the archives, that the Egyptian god Amun, Ra, was not the Ra group. It was an Anunnaki who was playing as if he was the Ra group, and that Amun-Ra was essentially the head god of ancient Egypt. And they were the same god form in Egypt. They were probably the god forms for the Illuminati now. And Amun, the pharaohs were all, remember I said, they said my name was Amenhotep? The pharaohs were all called Amenhotep. There was Amenhotep 1, Amenhotep 2, Amenhotep 3, Amenhotep 4. And then I kept thinking, why would Akhenaten, he changed his name from Amenhotep the 4th to Akhenaten, and he didn't want to be associated with the Amun name, okay? And now, why would Akhenaten, who changed his name, why would he have a right-hand man who had was the wrong name, Amenhotep? And I kept thinking about that, you know, and then I was studying the Rucker channelings at the time, And in the record channelings, there was the question, who did the Ra group speak to throughout history? And there was just a handful of people, and one of them was Akhenaten. And so when they said Amenhotep, and they said Akhenaten, and I said, I asked them, and the Ra group? And they said, under the auspices of the Ra group. So I spent months thinking about that. I was Akhenaten's right-hand man. And then I discovered I looked at the statue of Nefertiti. And I said, oh, my God, Nefertiti looks like Daphne. And now
that was his wife.
That was his wife, yeah. And now I'm thinking Akhenaten's right-hand man was having an affair with Akhenaten's wife, okay? Because I'm still putting it all together. Keep in mind that my mind was absolutely blowing at this time, absolutely blowing, because I'm writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I'm getting the idea that the Ra group was connected to Jesus. There was one little thing they said, we came to you in Christianity. We don't speak in those terms. I'm reading about Akhenaten, and Akhenaten was part of the beginning of bringing Jesus into this realm. And supposedly Akhenaten was responsible for the creation of the Essenes. And if you're not familiar with the background of Akhenaten, he was a very controversial pharaoh. Sometimes he's called the heretic pharaoh, because he outlawed all the religious practices of Egypt that were
one God.
Yeah, and so now he put all the priests out of a job, and his wife eventually betrayed him for the priesthood, and they convinced her that he was ruining the heritage of Egypt, that Egypt had all this tradition, and who was he to outlaw it all? And eventually he took his followers and he built his own city, and eventually his own general and his own the priests that he had outlawed rallied the army together, went into his city, and destroyed everything. And they tried to destroy it so that there was no remnant that he even existed. And for hundreds of years after that, there was no Akhenaten in history until archaeologists started to unbury the city, and they found the history of Akhenaten in the city, and they found the statues of Akhenaten. And so, I kept thinking about it, and why would Akhenaten, his right-hand man, be called Amenhotep? And then I read a book that was channeled by Akhenaten's mother. And she told the whole history, like from an eyewitness point of view. And the book blew my mind because I knew the way they described Nefertiti was exactly how Daphne was, very aristocratic. Daphne, if you're listening, hi. Okay, very aristocratic and obviously she was very charismatic and she was very good with the public. And when Daphne and I first got together, they were just so overjoyed because I got the idea that she and I had some kind of contract that we made to come into this realm and make a contribution. And she would do the Elohim side of it, and I would do the Ra side of it. You see, it took a Ra person that had a lot of lifetimes in this realm to be able to have the wisdom and understanding of the realm to do what I'm doing. But Daphne would carry the celestial side of things, but she didn't want the job. And so thank God for Terry. Terry, are you there?
Give it a minute.
I'm here. It's kind of, I took on a similar job, just my own self, like, to, I just, like, a wanderer, take off and say, well, you know, I'm going to check this out. And then everybody around me would say, in the higher realms would say, no, no, don't do that, you know. And I'd say, no, I got to go check it out. And I just, off I go. I think...
I mean, Terry, this is rather funny. Terry says she remembers, and I believe we asked this question, and I believe they confirmed it, but it kind of fits the resonance that Terry and I existed at prior to the physical universe. And she remembers, she thinks that we were friends and that I was there casting out frequencies and energies. And I would tell how you remember it, because I don't remember this, okay?
Yeah, so. Well, here's what it was. It's like we had an energy body. We didn't have a real manifest physical body, but there were different energies. And, like, you would say by a telepathy, look down there, you know, see that mass? It's like it wasn't in English at the time. It was just... very fast, back and forth, telepathy. And I'd say, yeah. And you'd send energy, you'd shoot energy at it, and it would vibrate. And you could see it vibrating. And you'd say, isn't that cool? And now you do it. And I would do it, and I couldn't get it to do anything. I couldn't shoot energy. I couldn't figure it out. And then one day you just disappeared. I went, where did he go? You know, things aren't very exciting without you.
I jumped into the universe and somehow took a body and got caught in the realm down here. And then Terry jumped in looking for me.
Right.
This is probably a billion years ago. And,
right.
I don't know about the track that Terry and I have had together. Like, I know with Daphne, I know the track. But one time we asked, and I think they said, what did they say? They said we were together on some distant planet or in Lumeria. I don't remember. But we did something together, but it was it didn't indicate it was anything recently. But let me tell you, you can't take these answers and repeat them as if they're fact. Like when I was first with Daphne, and I was driving around and we were doing little street fairs together, and when I asked them at that time, in the first couple of months, I said, did we have any past lives together? And they said, I was a merchant in France in 1600, I think, and she was my helper, which is what we were doing at that point. See, I don't think if they told me the lifetimes I've learned that I had at that point, it would have blown me away. I wouldn't have been ready for it. I mean, it might have gone to my head like an ego trip. So they didn't tell me, and that's all they said. But over time, I kept studying Akhenaten and Nefertiti, and then I discovered another lifetime where Daphne and I came together again and did something pretty amazing, and that the guy in that lifetime looked like Akhenaten, and she looked like the woman in that lifetime. And so this is how I put the pieces together. But one thing I discovered, and I discovered this because I read another book, channeled book about Akhenaten. They said that when Akhenaten left this realm, he fragmented into 60 divisions. And I don't think it was a nuclear explosion type fragmentation.
No, he became an oversoul.
Well, he, maybe you could say it that way, but you know, as I was, maybe it was an oversoul, or maybe in order to figure this out, I had to have the most amazing synchronistic things happen to me this life, and that it's like they needed 60 chances for that to occur, because I have met other people who believe they were Akhenaten. And I think they might have been, but they were not in the frequency of manifestation of Akhenaten to the degree that I am. But I'm only in this frequency because of meeting Daphne, of meeting David Wilcock, of meeting Carla Rucker, of Terry Channeling. You know, so many things came together to allow me to stand in the middle of this. So on that note,